Harper Audio presents Somebody's Gotta Say It, written and read by me, Neil Bortz. Copyright 2007 by Neil Bortz. Production copyright 2007 by HarperCollins Publishers. Now first, the introduction. You hold in your hands a book by a radio talk show host. Now, how special is that? What can I possibly say that you haven't thought 1,000 times already? Something, I hope. After all, it's my job to come up with things to say, things to get people talking. If you're like most people, on the other hand, you probably spend most of your time every day watching what you say for fear that blurting out your insensitive thoughts might bring about adverse repercussions, whether at home, at work, or in your social life, if you have one. After all, everybody has to get along, right? Well, not me. You see, I'm one of the rare people you know who has a job perfectly matched to his personality type. It appears that I somehow failed to develop the convenient social skill of keeping my yap shut. Even before I knew I had a mind, I had a penchant for speaking it, and I've been developing my skills in that department ever since. Of course, in a lot of ways, we're alike, you and I. When you wake up in the morning, listen to the news, or read a newspaper, you probably think, "What in the hell are those people thinking?" Well, the only difference is, you then cruise off to work and you make a studied effort to keep your ill-tempered thoughts to yourself for the rest of the day. When I wake up, I hear the same news reports and I think the same thing. What in the hell are those idiots thinking? But I'm lucky enough to be able to do something about it. Right away, I'm making plans to rip them a variety of new ones as soon as I get to work. I don't have to worry about the consequences of having opinions. For me, it's part of the job description. And such is the life of a radio talk show host. I am, it is said, an equal opportunity offender. If I come to the end of my 4 daily hours on the air and I'm not sure I've gravely offended at least one group, social, racial, socioeconomic, ethnic, political, generational, regional, whatever, then I consider my work that day an abject failure. I begin each show with a simple, basic truth running through my mind. These people out there are doing these dangerous, stupid, sometimes hilarious, and often strange things, and they have no right not to be offended. And I'm here to see that these non-rights are recognized and respected. There are no taboos on my show. Race, gender, religion, national origin, political persuasion, it's all fair game. No political correctness here. People may be able to hide their illogical, sometimes downright moronic behavior behind the shield of a convenient group identity in their everyday lives, but not from me. There's only one real requirement for someone to land in my crosshairs, that you do something, either intentionally or through ignorance, that will contribute to the destruction of the greatest experiment in self-government this world has ever known, our country, the United States of America. Many of my diatribes, of course, are aimed at liberals. These people actually think that America is great because of government. Such easy targets. But they're not the only ones. Theocons, for instance. Religious faith is fine, even admirable, but when you decide that your ideas on religion are so indisputably correct that everybody ought to live by them, it's time for a little talking to. The earth is only 6,000 years old. Yeah, spare me. Then there are the suburban soccer moms blissfully driving their urban assault vehicles adorned with those "My child is an honor student" bumper stickers to the repair shop to get the tires rotated on their riding vacuum cleaners. Somebody needs to have a serious talk with these women about the wisdom of turning their children over to the government to be educated. And since nobody else seems to be stepping up to the plate, I'm happy to do it. And what's this fascination with soccer, anyway? Are these overprotective parents afraid to let their precious little cutest child in the entire world play a game where they might get hit? Or where someone might throw something at them? Not to mention the men who are afraid to venture out of their homes for fear that they might actually come face to face, oh my goodness, with one of them homosexuals out on the street. I mean, come on. And I'm just getting warmed up. In the pages that follow, you will encounter welfare artists, screaming car commercials, parents who allow their child to trick-or-treat for UNICEF, people who have dealer tags on the trunks of their cars, abortocentrists, you figure that one out, the "I'm not interested in politics" sheeple, people who don't know what they don't know, and that's a particularly vexing species, and people who have no business waving an American flag on the 4th of July. And that just scratches the surface. The life of a no-holds-barred talk show host is richly rewarding thanks to the listeners, the callers, columnists, editorialists, and just ordinary red-blooded Americans who make it so.